All right, welcome, welcome. This is Vega Bomber, and I'm sitting here with...
Juice!
That's right, and you know who we are. We're the guys with the do-it-yourself team. And you know, the do-it-yourself team, what are we about? Well, we're about whenever we go see a movie, and we realize it isn't quite like the comic book or the book or anything, and it actually just takes you out of the movie because it's nothing like what you thought.
Yes.
So you decide to yourself, well, what would have made this movie better? And that's what we do. We sit down and we talk about what would have made this movie better. And in this case, today, we're talking about The Man of Steel. Yes. So first of all, I just want to get your overall impressions, Juice. But before that, let me say one more thing. This is spoilerific. So if you haven't seen Man of Steel, if you haven't bought the DVD or watched it,
then where you been?
Where have you been? Are you been under a rock? What the hell's going on?
A coma?
Yeah, absolutely. So if that isn't the case with you, then go ahead and continue to listen because this is going to have tons and tons and tons of spoilers in it. So first of all, let's start with the overall impression with Man of Steel. Juice, what did you think of this movie overall?
Overall, I liked it better than the previous Superman movie. It had great special effects and... sometimes maybe too much special effects in some cases, but overall, a good impression compared to the previous movie.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I liked Man of Steel. I really did. The only problem I have with it is that I don't know that I'd buy the DVD because I don't know that I'd watch it much because there are definitely some problems. But I have to say, overall, that I did like The Man of Steel. I know there's some people out there that hated it, and we can get into that too. I'll just state off the record that I actually did enjoy the film, just don't think I could watch it a lot. And I think, Juice, is that where you landed?
Yeah, I'm not for, maybe when the next film comes out, the Batman versus Superman, maybe I'll see it, but we'll see. Better own it. So,
No.
You don't own it either, right?
I don't own it either. It came out on video last year, I think in November.
Yeah.
But I did not buy it. So let's get into it. Man of Steel. So there are definitely some problems with the film. I would just say that first off, I thought the movie seemed like it was split into two different halves. It was almost like Nolan got into a fist fight with Zack Snyder about who was going to film which part of this movie. And I think... Nolan won the fist fight in terms of he was going to tell the story first. So I think the first part of the movie, which to me is the best part of the movie, the origin story, what happened on Krypton and all that stuff, I thought that was excellent. And I think that Zack Snyder then, as his consolation for getting beat up, ended up having to just do the back half of the movie the way he wanted to. And I think that's why it's like blitzkrieg and stuff's just blowing
up.
Just
too much.
Video game stuff. And CGI, freak fest, all right. In your face.
And hurt your eyes.
Yes, hurt your eyes, hurt your ears, hurt your butt for that you had to sit there that long and watch this piece. So, yeah, I think that's what happened. I think Nolan's part of the film, which I'm going to just assume is the first part, was I thought that part was actually pretty good. But that second half, and I will say specifically that last 25 minutes was so repetitive that I was just worn out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you're just like tired. You're like running a marathon or something.
Let's look at the first part of it. So with Superman, I thought that it was good that they did decide to go towards dealing with Krypton, and we never really got to see that much about Krypton, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, not too much. The other films, just a little bit, maybe 5-10 minutes of it. This one's like a good, 15-20 minutes?
Yeah.
If not a little longer.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I enjoyed that, the alien world was designed, I think, pretty good, and the creatures that were, living in that world was, very well done.
Yeah. I think I would agree with that. I thought Russell Crowe did a great job playing Jor-El. And I thought them just showing what was going on, and especially with Zod. Again, my big thing with these movies is I got to have a really good villain. And I thought that he was good, but here's actually the first problem with Man of Steel. I felt like there was so much exposition. Everybody had to tell you everything about the film that you were about to see anyway. And there was so much, we got to tell you about Krypton and how he fought and this and that. And with Zod, I thought he talked too damn much. It's like, just go kick his butt. You're a military guy. You're military trained. Go kick his butt.
Right, yeah.
Quit talking so damn much.
I agree with that, yeah. Yeah, Zod, all through the movie, there was characters that would just talk.
Yeah.
What they're going to do, what they saw. I guess Zack Snyder's, weaknesses, I think, is he's not a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. just like John Carpenter is a good storyteller. He knows how to pace a movie. Mm-hmm. He knows to give you a little bit of not even using too much words, just using actions of characters to show you what their character is and what where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a sense of that.
Absolutely. It's like the way the film is shot.
Yes.
They know when to pull in tight for the dramatic moments and when to pull back to show something that's going to, you know, dominate the whole screen.
Right.
So I would totally agree with that. And so I really thought, because, I mean, I like, what was his name, Shannon? I forgot his first name, maybe, but was it Michael Shannon?
Michael Shannon. I think it's Michael Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the idea that his suit and everything and him being just super powered and finally somebody for him to fight other than Lex Luthor. So I thought that was brilliant.
Right.
That they decided to go there.
Yeah, for the first movie, for Man of Steel, with Lex Luthor, I think he's been used so much in the past films over and over again that even the second Batman versus Superman, it looks like they're going to use Lex Luthor. I think they should have waited a little bit to the third movie, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Zod was a great villain, overall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I give him kudos for at least trying to do that. And that's why I like the first part of the film. I know that some people complained about his dad. They thought that his Earth dad, Kevin Costner, was a jerk because of the comment about the bus and what should he have done, let some kids die. He says, I don't know, maybe. And like some people are like, well, he was really just a jerk and all that stuff. I'm like, actually, I really didn't have a problem with that or him sacrificing himself. When the tornado came.
Right.
I thought that was fine. What really probably bothered me more was just the shooting of it. Zack Snyder tried to pull his best J.J. Abrams copy of those lens flares.
Remember
how when he was in the spaceship and how they were showing the light coming through when he was in the garage showing him where
which
it was
is too
farm.
Much. Right.
Yeah, there was so much lens flare there. And I was like, what is this? We're watching Star Trek again? I mean, the hell? So I don't understand this craze about lens flare and why it seems to be so much. And, of course, during the fight scenes, a lot of shaky cam.
Yes.
Just a lot of shaky cam.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of person that when it's too shaky that feels nauseous, but I can see why some people would feel nauseous watching the movie without a shaky cam. And that lens flares and shaky cam the past 10, 15 years has just been too much.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think another part of this film that I thought was probably tricky was the time. I mean, it really felt long sitting there watching, didn't you?
I did feel like, a little tiring, even midway through the movie. It was just too much stuff going on, too much characters over-explaining the plot, in my opinion.
Now, I'll tell you, it's funny because as I keep saying something that it did wrong, at least in the first half, I like the idea that Lois Lane knows that he's Superman.
You like that?
Because that kind of helps get rid of the stupid idea of him wearing glasses and her not knowing the difference between Superman and Clark. So she already knows that he's Clark, or that Clark is Superman, and that seems to be a better deal today than if he tries to pretend, or if they were going to try to get us to believe that she doesn't know when she's dating Superman.
Think about it. It is a good angle in terms of, whenever they're with other people, they can just, pretend that, two people, Clark Kent and Superman, are two different people. And, and you have to think about when Superman is out there flying, most likely people just see a blur. So they won't even notice that, that's Clark Kent. He's kind of far away, blurs, goes out, takes care of business.
Yeah, so I kind of really enjoy the fact that they brought down the three arch nemesis, I guess, down to fight Superman. And then, what's the name? Feor-El. I thought her character was really, really good. And the way they showed those guys fighting. And again, I'm talking about the good parts of it, but I guess the parts that really just killed it for me was, again, I think after the Smallville scene, after the Smallville fight, there they first showed you how they punch and hit.
They destroyed a town.
They destroyed up a whole town. Right. And some of the product placement, like they had to make sure it was an IHOP in there. So it was kind of like, you're going very obvious with the product placement once again. But I know they tried to slip in a few Easter eggs, but I didn't think they didn't take as full advantage of that as they could. But I would say probably after the Smallville fight, everything else after that just seemed to be so repetitive.
Right.
And the punching power and the buildings and all that, and I think people called it disaster porn. Yeah, and I was wondering about that. And then the terraformers, the machines that were going to click onto the Earth, and then it had the little long Dr. Octopus arms coming out of it.
Right.
And he has to fight that while then flying through the center of the Earth to do all this stuff. Couldn't you just flown around the world a couple times?
Right.
No, but, you know.
Just turn back time. And...
Yeah, just turn back time, like Cher or something. But, you know, I just didn't know that you needed all of that crap. And then, of course, the big debate with everybody is Superman killing Zod. And some people are like, no, you made him dark. You made it just like Batman. Superman's not like Batman. Why did you do that? Blah, 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 blah. But I don't know that I had a real big problem
with
killing Zod.
I mean, not really big problem. Maybe they should have waited for the next film to kill him. You know, they could have put him in a Phantom Zone for a minute or two and go from there instead of just killing him off. Because now you have to, in the second film, you have to go create a whole different villain again.
Mm-hmm.
And then fight him. And it'll be the same thing, right? It'll be... Mm-hmm. That disaster porn again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They'll fall into that same trap.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this is a pretty popular criticism that we're talking about. The idea that there was so much destruction inside of Metropolis and you hardly see any loss of life really.
Right.
So it took the realism out of it that it was going for by just showing all these buildings falling down. Hardly there's not any collateral damage that we really get to hear and see. And then I think the press release came out later, not necessarily a press release, but it was quoted that Zack Snyder said, no, that was part of the film. You'll understand it when you watch Batman v Superman. Even still, though, you got to show somebody getting crumbled by a building.
Hurt.
You know, there's got to be a car smashing a guy or a girl getting smashed by a light phone pole or something.
Another thing, with the situation, all the reporters stayed in the building. Okay, everybody, almost everybody left. But they wait until the last minute before, Perry White decides, now we're going to go.
Yeah.
After you had, probably an hour or two to evacuate the building.
Yes.
And just because reporters, why is everybody in the building? They should be out reporting, right?
Yeah.
You're right?
Right.
So that's one thing that didn't make sense for me. He waits until the ship shows up and all the other terraforming machines, and then now he decides to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is already too late. You're most likely going to die.
Yeah, and it was like, where was the Army and Marines? I mean, all the stuff that's going on. I mean, you had some idea that they might have been around, but it made it seem small budget, although it was trying to look big. And really, you didn't need all of that. You didn't need that. And also, too, I was trying to figure out, how the hell did Lois Lane get to the building that Superman was in after they were punching and throwing each other, knocking each other way down the city blocks?
You're right.
How is she on foot with buildings toppled over, which means she can't just walk down Main Street anymore
because
Main Street's blocked by a bunch of debris.
Yeah.
But how does she get there at the very end when he has just killed Zod so that he can then put his head on her bosom so he can just
cry.
So he can cry like, I killed him, but I didn't want to have to kill him.
Right.
You know, and then she's like, they're there. I mean, it's like, what?
That was just stupid, right?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. It's like,
we just
didn't need it. If you're Superman and you realize by taking him out is going to then save the Earth, I don't know that you're really that worried about that one death.
Right.
When you killed all these other people. Buildings was falling down and toppling on top of people.
Right.
I mean,
that doesn't make sense. Yeah.
No. People are dying all around you. You're not worried, but now you're going to cry because you killed Zod.
Well, the only thing I can think of is crying because it's one of his last of his people, but he had already lived on Earth for 20 odd years, 25 years, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
You would think he adopted Earth as his new home, and he has no connections to his old, home that he was born in. So you would think that he would be more, sad about all the Earthlings dying instead of just one Kryptonian.
Yeah. And they did the one cliche thing that we always talk about. I think he did it three times in this movie. When somebody died, he yelled, no! So when his dad did it, he yelled no.
Yeah.
He yelled no, or he screamed, no! When he killed Zod.
Right.
I think there might have been one other time. They played up the no. Yeah, they played up that. And by the way, they got to figure out, Hollywood, please figure out another way for an actor to express his pain when he finds out that his girlfriend or mom or dad or someone special has died in his arms. There's got to be another way besides, no! It almost sounds like, go! When you're playing soccer. Playing soccer. It's like, you know. But it seems like it's a bit crazy. So,
right.
You know. So you have that. So I would think that if you have all of that going on, and if you want us to accept the fact that this is a darker movie, and you can tell by the way it was shot too, if you look at Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, it was brighter tones. You know, they had the big yellow jumpsuits on,
right.
The green skin color for them, and the blue. The colors are very bright in that movie, and that was a space, you know, movie. And in this movie, of course, Zack Snyder wanted to wash it to
wash
dark
it down,
gray tones. He didn't want the suit to be. Yeah, it was very muted, just kind of like how 300 was.
Yeah.
Very muted except for the reds.
Except the red every once in a while. But
yeah, and I'm not so sure that that was probably the best thing. And that probably is what got him all the criticism for people saying, why are you trying to make this the Dark Knight? Yeah, because I really didn't think Superman's character was really being brooding and mad and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, he was just being a teenager.
Right.
And then when he got older, he was still making jokes. Like when they were sitting down, and the army was on the other side of the wall, and they're just talking about, she says it's an S and all that stuff. To me, he was smiling, and they were just sitting there talking.
Right.
And it was okay. And to me, that was one of the better parts of the movie, is when he says, I can hear you, General. And he knows all this stuff. And they talk through the glass. I thought that was, you know, incredible.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about the muted colors. I think, you know, they want to have a look for it. And I think once when he was Earth, they should have added more color to the movie instead of the Kryptonian was, well, because it's a alien planet. So mm-hmm. kind of well, works well, color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But then once on Earth, they should have lightened up the color, I think, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because psychologically, I think, you know, those colors mm-hmm. in the back of your mind when you, as an audience, I think you kind of feel, you know, some sadness or some dark gloominess,
mm-hmm.
Right offhand, even though maybe you're not conscious, you're not thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the back of your head,
mm-hmm.
It's all dark. It's all brooding.
Mm.
Even like you say, most people think in their minds.
Yeah.
They add that element to the character, even though, like you said, he was joking.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't feel, the color palette of the film didn't mm-hmm. feel that he was joking. It was all sad.
And
it just didn't work for Superman. That's the same. Mm. You know, you can make him some aspects of the character dark, but when you pick those colors to do the whole film,
mm-hmm.
It just becomes, you know, gloomy.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work for Superman, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll see in the second one, mm-hmm. maybe he'll choose, it'll be the same thing because he's doing Batman, right?
So right.
It'll be even darker.
Yeah.
For, like, Gotham City, I haven't seen any shots for Gotham City. I think it's going to be even mm-hmm. darker.
Right.
He's
right.
only going to show it, I guess, at middle of the night, mm-hmm. I guess, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
kind of things. And you know, maybe the scenes with Batman will work, but then it'll be the same color for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
we'll see.
And see, to me, you give me a good movie, and if you put the lines in there right, if you do humor right, it needs to be well-placed and well-timed.
All right.
And it's kind of like when you think of Gladiator. Right? There's a couple of funny scenes in Gladiator, even though it's not known as a comedy.
Right.
But they did it in there well. So, like, I think of the scene where, you know, he's sitting down and, the big guy that's with
Maximus
eats his food for him to test to see if it was poison or not. And he starts acting like he's dying and they all look at him serious.
You
didn't expect it because the tone of the movie has been serious all this time.
Serious,
and then that scene happened. It was funny, and everybody laughed because
right.
it showed that there was a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And then there was another scene where Jaiman Hansu, the African warrior that's
right.
with him, is looking at him, and he sees that Maximus is keeping these little figurines, one of his wife and one of his son.
Right?
And remember, he looks at him, and he says to him, so why do you keep those? And he goes, it helps me remember, you know, my kids. I actually talk to them. He goes, really? Well, what do you say to them? And he said, well, to my kid, I tell him to keep his heels down when he's riding the horse. And to my wife, well, never mind what I say to her.
Right.
And see, that was funny.
Right.
And see, so that movie had some levity and some funny scenes, but it didn't try to overboard. Because the
right.
tone would have been screwed up at that point, because the tone was supposed to be serious. So in these movies, I don't mind if the tone is a little darker. I mean, you're talking about Superman, confronting Batman. So there's going to have to be some darkness in it. And so I don't mind that. Just make sure that the story is good.
Right.
Make sure the arc is believable and make sure that the villains are wicked enough that you really want to see them get their comeuppance
right.
by the hero.
Yeah, I can see that. And maybe Zack Snyder, that's another weakness of him. He maybe can't, add, great jokes into his storylines like other directors or other screenwriters can. He's a screenwriter too, so but he hasn't learned that trick that other screenwriters have learned and other directors have learned, that even though it's sad, you can have some happiness in between, two or three moments. Absolutely. Maybe not overly, not too much, but a little bit here and there.
Because once you set the tone of a film, you need to match it. Because you can't start off the tone of the film with it being lighthearted and funny and then go serious, because then people feel tricked. Or you can't start off being really, really serious and all of a sudden try to get goofy. Because if you do that, then it doesn't work either. And so it has to be well-placed and well-timed. And really, that's how life is.
Right.
Right? Because there's some of us that can see the funny parts in a situation that's really not funny, and it can be funny, but then there's some parts where there's no humor in it at all, and you just kind of accept it for what it is. But Man of Steel, in that sense, I think would be okay. I guess another problem was why did Lois Lane need to be on the ship? What the hell did they need with Lois Lane?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that just didn't make sense. I can't think of a good reason. That they would have that character in the ship other than just to have more scenes with her, I'm guessing. Yeah. Have more connections with Man of Steel, with Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of, but it just felt, wrong when that part of it.
Well, yeah, because they came down there looking for
Superman.
So why do they need Superman and Lois Lane to go on that ship? And I'm trying to remember, I think Superman wanted to give himself up and then, but I think they said something about they wanted her to come or something like that, one of your own or whatever. But either way, and I can't remember exactly because it's been a while, but it just seems strange that Lois Lane was even on that spaceship in the first place.
Right.
And I know that they're trying to shoehorn in all these strong female characters, and so they try to do that to show that she's a tough girl. And remember, because she ends up saving Superman in that particular case. Because he gives her the little key or the obelisk or whatever that thing is that she's going to then use.
I remember that, and
I would say another probably point that was kind of crazy too is I think they overused Jor-El after he was dead. They kept using the hologram too much. It's almost like somebody turned around to go to the bathroom. What are you doing, son? That's not how we go to the bathroom in Krypton. I don't know what's happened to you. Go to the spaceship that's waiting over here.
Right.
Pointing left.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, at some point, I'm like, okay, y'all got good use of Russell Crowe. We don't need to see it. Now he's dead.
Right.
We don't see this many holograms of him there because it's almost confusing as to if he's really dead or not.
Like, right.
So I questioned that. But I thought that didn't serve a point.
Didn't serve a point either.
Haven't been there too much. And then what did he do? He just kept giving more exposition.
Yes.
You were made to save them, son. You're super. So they were really building it up like that. And I was just like, I think that's a little bit much. You don't really need all that. So, so we've kind of put out some gripes. So what we usually like to do then is start thinking about what might be some pretty good fixes, for some of these gripes, unless you can think of any other things in this movie that kind of derailed it.
I can't think of it. Let's just go to the fixes.
Yeah, let's move to the fixes then. So one of my fixes is to take out the whole terraforming scene. I think you can save 15 minutes off this movie. The whole idea of these machines were going to clamp onto the Earth and then terraform it and all that stuff, I don't really think that was really necessary. If you have to keep some of that in, I don't think you need the part where the Dr. Octopus arms are coming out and chasing Superman and fighting it. At that point, we got it. He's super. He should be able to handle this. This is not a problem. We know he's going to win.
Right.
We know he's not going to die. So what was the point in having all that extra stuff other than to say, Zack Snyder?
Right.
I like action. I need more CGI.
I need more, right.
We need more. This isn't enough. I mean, we've tore up the Earth and tore down all these buildings, but that's not enough.
A spider's already been done, a giant spider. Let's do a squid.
Yeah, let's have the squid thing. Because the people there in Metropolis are already still tired from, Avengers when they had their big space aliens coming in on their big right. things attacking. So now here we go with Metropolis. It's almost like they should have a special alarm. If you're anywhere up north.
An alien attack alarm or something.
Yeah, like. It's like down here in Texas we have our tornado alarms. But up there I think it has to be, oh crap.
Ooga.
Send us an Ooga alarm. Because we need something to help us because here come these aliens.
The aliens again.
They're coming. We don't know what kind of weapons they're using yet, but we do know they're going to look somewhat like some sort of plant life or animal life that's on Earth.
Right.
They're going to be a squid type thing or a centipede type thing. Or something with scales.
More torture porn, please. He has a button. Zack Snyder has a button.
You know, I think, in fact, you, after the Smallville fight, you probably didn't really even need to have a very long fight scene
at the end.
You really probably didn't. Because at the Smallville part of it, what I thought was great about that scene was that the army then got to see, because they were willing to take out anybody that was flying. And they got to at least see that Superman was on their side. And I thought that was cool.
Right.
That was a good way to bring that in.
Right.
And then the rest of it was just, okay, this should be more like a space battle now because they're in their ships.
Right.
And they obviously don't breathe well on Earth.
I know, right.
And you got what you wanted. You found Superman. So it seemed like to me, I don't know why they felt that. I mean, I know that the plot called for them to want to mine the Earth and tear it up they tore up Krypton. Because
I guess
all works. I mean, you tore up your own planet with it. So let's go do Earth the same way now.
You're right.
So I was just thinking, you know, the whole terraforming thing, you probably don't even need. That probably should have been a scene where the fight goes out into space, because that's what's awesome about Superman.
He could go to space, right?
Yeah, you keep Batman here on the Earth because that's what he does. He's fighting crime on a street level.
Right.
But with Superman, I really felt like they really missed the opportunity to have an awesome space battle.
With him fighting spaceships or you know, little small spaceships maybe at first and then maybe a big one at the end. Yeah, that would have been good. And then, you know, maybe he breaks apart a ship and it's coming down. He kind of has to push it in the ocean a little bit instead of hit the actual Earth or Metropolis. I don't know. Yeah, that would have been a good scene.
Yeah, I mean, that
would have different.
Yeah, that would have made it different. That would have been better because we wanted to see that. We want to see Superman out in space. So I think that would have been a really good piece. So I think if you take the terraformer situation out, create the situation where they're thinking that they're going to blast the Earth or do something because they realize that Superman loves the humans. So they feel like that's the way to get rid of them. So why would you want to just destroy Metropolis? There's a whole bunch of humans. So why not, with your ship, with all the firepower, have Kryptonian technology supposed to be ahead of Earth, why not have that Joker sitting up like a Star Destroyer almost?
Oh, yes.
Going to just blast all of them. Not just Metropolis.
Right. You're right.
Because they, you know, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about humans.
Right.
He doesn't care about people.
He wouldn't even make the connection to Metropolis. He would just... you know, hit other cities. You know.
So I would think that would create a great space battle up there.
Right.
And so they would be up there, and of course the Air Force would be only like on the, they'd be in their atmosphere where they can go to just make sure that debris was falling or anything else.
Shoot it out.
They can shoot it down, and that would make more sense, I would think.
Right.
Shoot it out of the sky or try to have nets to carry things where it fall into the ocean and not, you know.
And not hit the Earth.
I mean, it seemed like to me you could make that happen. And then eventually at some point Superman has to get in their ship. And then there's a fight that they're tearing up the ship, they end up outside of the ship fighting.
Right.
And that would be cool.
Right.
I mean, imagine them, you know, because they did show him grab the satellite and it had that Easter egg of
Wayne
Enterprises on it, but most people didn't see it. I didn't see it at first.
Right. I took people telling me that what it was. And the second time I saw it, then I was looking for it.
So. So I think that if you just take that out, move the scene up into space, have them really want to just blow up the planet, because, I mean, they lost their planet.
Right.
So why not say, okay, well, now we found out which planet you've been hiding on, and we want you to feel the pain we feel. We're going to blow up this planet you seem to love so much that you're more well adapted to than we are.
Right. Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, Kal-El, you know, I guess because he's living in the planet for X amount of years, he became you know, able to breathe the air. I guess that's what they're trying to think. So it would just take time for them to be able to do that, I guess. Instead of just destroying because they were terraforming to make it the atmosphere, I guess, like Krypton, so they can breathe. Is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah, I thought they didn't say that, but they
kind of, you know, connect the dots.
Yeah, they were kind of wanting to strip it of all of its minerals, I guess. And see, that just shows you when you try to talk about the movie a year after you've seen it and you can barely remember some of the plot points and stuff, it kind of tells you that it was suspect. It
right.
should be something where you just
easily know why they're doing it.
Easily remember it. So, but, you know, the cool thing about the movie though is, well actually, let's talk about the Easter eggs that I feel like they should have had.
Right.
You know, if you really wanted to improve this movie and make it better, along with shortening the end of it, and with also taking out the terraform and also putting the last battle up in space, which would really have been cool, right. is I think they missed a huge opportunity to put Easter eggs of the Justice League in there.
Yes. Yeah. Little, maybe minute or 2 minute parts, maybe showing a little bit of, Batman in Shadows, in the Batcave looking at the situation towards the end, maybe even in the middle, depending on the character, maybe a mention of the Anna Prince, the woman, something like that.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, because I know some people said, well, they didn't know if Superman was going to do well enough, so therefore, but even if you put these scenes in there and you never did make a Justice League movie, it wouldn't have hurt the film.
Right.
So what I was thinking was, the way I see it was, at the very, very end, you have it to where Superman again saves the day, takes out the spaceships, takes down Zod. Zod's done, however which way you want to have Superman punish Zod. However you want to do it. But we know he's a throwaway character at this point.
Right.
We don't really need him after this because they want to set up Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor.
Right? So we know that's coming. So it doesn't almost matter how you're going to get rid of Zod. You're just going to.
Right.
And I think that before the movie should end, it should show a big live feed of CNN showing all this destruction, because all this bad stuff had happened. These superhumans are flying and people were filming it.
Right.
You know, people were seeing this being that could fly. You would think that all they had to do was just show a CNN feed, kind of like at the end of Avengers.
Oh,
where
right.
they showed all these people going, thank you, Avengers. Yeah. The Avengers saved my life. Well, take it instead and just have it be like the Air Force is watching it. And to your point, you see Diana Prince, who's Wonder Woman, standing
right.
there, and it's just her profile. You don't have to see the whole thing, but it's just enough. And then maybe it's some people, the Air Force, talking. They're going, we're going to have to get this covered.
Right.
We're going to have to neutralize this threat. And maybe you just hear this person that you think is Wonder Woman, because they got it set up like that. Mm-hmm. And she just says, we'll get this taken care of.
Right.
This won't be a problem for long.
Right.
And see, and people were like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, boom, it moves again. The camera moves again and shows. And this time, you're watching it from Gotham's version of the scene. And they're watching it. And all of a sudden, you just see those hands sitting down at the computer with the little wings off
right.
and the gloves. And you know,
the gauntlet,
well, that's Batman.
Yes.
You see the gauntlet, things.
Right.
And you go, and then you maybe hear just in that voice, this can't stay around forever.
Right.
Now there's this guy.
right?
And then all of a sudden all these nerdgasms will happen, all these nerd giggles will happen. And right. then, you got John Stewart there, Green Lantern, he's a Marine.
Right.
So why not show a scene of the military also? The Marines going, okay, we need to gear up, we got a code, whatever. And you just see his badge and it says J. Stewart.
Right.
And then maybe it shows the other hand and you see this big lump where it's a green ring or something.
Right.
And you're like, oh, snap. And see, that would have been cool. And then Flash. Wally West, he had been more like you could have maybe retconned him and have more like a CSI.
He's in the lab and...
Working in the lab, right. Yeah. He comes on the scene
right.
to get samples and all this stuff because they're going to study what this is and
right.
all of that.
And maybe kind of make him do something that he's using his speed a little bit so he can give you an inkling that he is Flash.
Yeah, like it could be his phone. His phone rings. And when he picks it up, his phone, there's a little lightning bolt on the phone.
Ah, there you go.
And it says, calling Wally West or whatever. And you can see that it's, somebody's calling him.
Right.
There's
connections there.
And you see from just looking at the phone who it is.
Right.
Right. So I think that would have been cool. And then I guess if there was any other person that you felt like you needed to be, that would be a great opportunity. Like, so maybe the last shot is Aquaman.
Right.
And it's just
coming out of the ocean or something.
It's like, because by now everybody's excited.
Right.
Because they've seen Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. And the last one you save for Aquaman. And it's a shot of the water.
Right.
And all
like
of a sudden,
trident coming out or something.
See this trident.
You don't even have to. Yeah, you don't even have to get that. People always say, oh, well, you haven't even, cast that actor. But you can just give them the glimpses.
Absolutely.
And the sun hits it right, so you just see a trident with just you know, a silhouette of him. He doesn't even have to be, you know, an established actor that you're going to actually
This wouldn't be about the actor. It would just be about just the visual. Mm-hmm. It's just about the visual. And if you spend about 6 seconds on each of those,
right,
people would have lost their minds.
Right.
That would have been how the movie ended.
And they would have to see it again. They want to see it again just for those six.
Just for those scenes. So if they had just focused for just 6 good seconds
right.
of showing these individual people all watching the screen.
Right.
And that'd be your connection to all of it. They're all sitting down watching the screen and you're getting their reaction based around the people that they're around.
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers, they always like wait and see for the, you know, what the box office says in a week or two or three. Mm-hmm. And then they decide, you know, to add something for the next film.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're always working one or two steps behind other studios like Marvel and,
you know, Marvel and Fox and Sony.
Mm-hmm. Always like two or three steps behind. Mm-hmm. And they just never learn, I guess.
No. And it's really sad because, I mean, Man of Steel, while it was still enjoyable enough to watch at least once,
right.
it could have been so much better. It should have been much better than this.
Could have been like a modern classic. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, to date, it still is the highest grossing Superman film ever made. So I know the Donner folks will be a little upset with that. But it is, you know, by stats-wise, it is... You know, the highest grossing Superman film ever. I think it stopped somewhere around the 650 mark, somewhere around there. And it should have done better. And I think
it would have
done better if they'd have put some elements of the Justice League in that.
Right.
Because that's the film everybody wants to see.
Right.
And so instead of making Batman v Superman be the warm up to Justice League, it's a mistake. If they'd have taken care of it now, then Batman v Superman could have just been a Batman-Superman movie, World's Finest. That would have been great.
Right.
And then everybody would have been excited about World's Finest because then you would tease the Justice League again at the end of Batman-Superman.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, if they did it like the way Marvel did in terms of just leading you on to the next step,
right.
then we're already used to that.
Right.
It would have worked. You don't have to copy it and do after-credit scenes.
Exactly, right.
You know, like that. But you should show some final shots.
Right.
Before you go credits.
And they had time because it wasn't the Man of Steel when it was in production, didn't they like move the time for like a year?
Mm-hmm.
It was going to come out a certain time and then they moved it
mm-hmm.
like a year and a half later
mm-hmm.
Because they needed to work on the film, like a special effects or the script or mm-hmm. both.
Yeah.
They had time to, maybe not even Zack Snyder, maybe somebody else. Because I think in the Marvel films, little short films, I think they stopped doing it, but the one shot films that are connected to the DVDs,
mm-hmm.
Somebody else does it. Not the actual director of the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might shoot, you know, like a 5-7 minute short film,
mm-hmm.
Like an executive producer,
right.
is able to do that. And Zack Snyder was, you know, busy with Man of Steel. They can get somebody else,
mm-hmm.
To do like a short film. You know, that would be connected to the, like, Easter eggs
mm-hmm.
to Justice League and other movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if they would have done that, that would have helped Superman tremendously because, to me, they were starting to go down the right path, showing mm-hmm. Superman in those flashbacks as a kid. You're getting a sense of what it would be like to have superpowers and be a kid without having a whole movie focused on the kid like they did with
right.
episode one. Right, which we didn't need to see all that much of Anakin in episode one at all. But in this one, I mean, if you follow Batman Begins did it right in terms of, in my opinion, they show the training and then they flashback to some of the stuff. And
yes.
then here they were doing that. They were showing here's Superman now on this journey to try to figure out who he is, which is cool.
Right.
And then you have the flashbacks to what happened to as a kid. That, to me, was excellent. And when he was hiding in the closet,
right.
you know, because the sounds were too much, because he had super hearing, all this, I thought... Excellent.
That was right.
And when he paid that jerk off back,
that was good.
That was good humor.
Right.
That was good everything. And so they really had some elements to show that they really wanted to make a good film.
Right.
They really did. And then it was just like somebody just said, you know, to Zack Snyder, I bet you won't put a bunch of more CGI in. He said, I bet you I will. So, you know,
boom, explosions. You know. The last 20, 25 minutes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that could have been like a strong 7, maybe 7.5.
Yeah.
But it could have been a 10.
Yes.
Or a 9, like a classic.
Yes.
Like Avenger, where you can sit down and watch it every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And you get something new, and then, or you get a good joke.
Yes.
That you know you laughed about it, and you just missed opportunities, like always. Like,
Yeah, because, I mean, there were some scenes that I think Man of Steel had that really, like, when he was trying to figure out what was the right thing to do, and he was in that church, he was talking to the preacher.
Oh, the preacher,
and
right.
He asked him, what would he do, and he told him sometimes in order to get past something, you have to forgive, and or you have to be willing to sacrifice. That's where...
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good theme. I know some of the atheists got mad about that, but I actually thought, hey, Superman, you know, he's created by two Jewish guys.
Right.
You know, Kor-El, El is, you know, Hebrew for God, Elohim. So to me, that didn't bother me, but I thought it was good because it was giving Superman some soul. It was kind of showing you that, okay, he is kind of like a god. We see that.
And then I think they were doing that to make connections to Earth and Earthlings instead of... Because he was still, during that point, I think he was still battling that, you know, Kryptonians were still his people in his mind.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they added that scene or, you know, or they want to convey that scene where he was still battling with himself, battling that the Kryptonians are his people. But at the end, I think he figures out that his adopted planet is Earth now.
Yeah.
He's an Earthling now.
Yeah.
Not a Kryptonian.
Mm-hmm.
So that theme, I think that's why they added that scene, and then also the scenes with his parents and when he's growing up.
Yeah, and I thought that was good. And I thought that, again, that was an all-star cast, which is another reason why. And it's funny because these good things are also kind of what makes it tough because you could see where it could have went.
Right.
And then with them just pulling off, I mean, when you can get Russell Crowe to be one of the dads, and you can get Kevin Costner to be the other dad, despite what he did in Waterworld. if you can get Kevin Costner to be in there, and if you can get Sally Fields to play...
No, you know who it was? It wasn't a well-known actress. It was...
Where did I get Sally Fields from?
But you're thinking about Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, right?
That's which exactly wasn't right. That wasn't that good
That's
either.
Right. Gosh,
I kind of trying to think of her name.
I know, and she's a good actress.
That's she's a good actress.
That I forget her name, but
we'll think about it.
But we'll think about it. Yeah. So when you get that cast of characters in there, and then you get Lawrence Fishburne to play Perry White, I mean, you had a solid. And Amy Adams, I think, is a good actress. You had an all-star cast. You really did.
Right.
And but to come away,
the thing is, I think they underutilized Lawrence Fishburne. They did a good job overall. But they could have added another scene or two here and there. I think he held back, in my opinion.
For which one?
Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White.
Yeah.
I want to see more of him.
Yeah, they didn't give him much to do.
Maybe in the second film, maybe, because they're going to, include, more of him being Clark Kent as a reporter and Diane Lane.
Yes, that's right, Diane Lane. I was sitting there trying to figure that out, but I knew. But
Christopher Maloney was a good character. That was I think he was a sergeant that took out the knife. Remember, and he actually would going up
against
Christopher Maloney.
Yeah,
he did a great job showing that even the odds were against him, he's still fighting.
Yes. So. Yes. No, I thought that was good too.
So,
yeah, you just have all these random good scenes.
Right.
That you could see that this was going to be the makings
of a great classic film. And it just fell a little short. I mean, like I was saying, it's like a good solid seven, maybe even eight on a good day, but not like a 10.
Yeah.
And not like something like you would see every 2 or 3 months, 4 months, or sit down and you know, show you know, hopefully you have a son or a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You want to show them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have favorite movies when you're a kid. And this, I don't think this will fall in that category. Maybe it gets older, like 12 or 13, because there's so much destruction and so much violence. But there's always movies that you want to show. You in your mind, you think that if you have a kid, you want to show them, or you have a niece or a nephew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build a good foundation of great movies in their life.
So,
not this one.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, exactly. Not this one, unfortunately. And then, and the sad part is too, this is Superman. He's a classic. That emblem, the Superman emblem, is known worldwide.
Right.
You know, I mean, people know of this character, and so it deserved a little bit more than that. It was almost like someone stepped in, some suit guy stepped in and goes, "You need more explosion. It's too serious." I mean, Superman is him trying to figure out who he is.
Right.
That's not what we want to see. We want to see him tearing stuff up and blowing buildings up and using his heat ray vision like crazy and blah, right. blah, blah, you know.
Right.
And so I was sitting back thinking to myself, that's what it almost seemed like. Because, you know, when you do a summer blockbuster movie, yeah, almost like, you know, there's a
like
quote of how many explosions.
Paid by numbers, paid by explosions.
Yeah, paid by explosions. Exactly, right? It's like, if there's a paid by numbers, there's got to be a certain number of explosions. There's got to be a certain number of, like, either airplanes, you know, or ship chases.
Ship chases.
Like car right. chases, I guess. But
or punches.
Ships,
if it's
a certain number of punches.
Punches.
Yeah, and it was almost like they made this movie and it was probably better at first. And then someone said, that's not enough.
We gotta
have stuff blowing up. We gotta have some
destruction
and chaos and you know. And it's like, yeah, but we're not doing the end of time. We're doing Superman. It's okay.
Right.
I mean, even in Jurassic Park, they didn't tear up that much stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
And those
are
big ass dinosaurs we're talking about, right? In Jurassic Park, they didn't tear up as much stuff as Superman and Zod did. So, yeah, I just think somebody got in there, got overzealous.
So, like the balance, like any good action film director, you know, they get good character moments, and then also the destruction is there, but not overly, destructive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not overly, not up to the level that it gets you tired.
Yeah.
Of watching it, and your eyes start hurting, and you know, I guess it's the best part. You know, while watching the movie, that's the best part to go to the bathroom because it'll be the same thing in 2 or 3 minutes, right? It'll be just the same destruction. You know.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I think you're right, and in fact, that reminds me of Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
Right.
They did just enough destruction in that. The only problem is that they went the other direction.
Oh, they're too less, in your opinion?
Yeah, they just didn't have enough. Yeah, although I liked it still, Godzilla was still great. Still a great movie. Excuse me. When it comes out on DVD, I will buy it because I'm just a big Godzilla fan.
Right.
So I didn't mind the tease in it, but if it had just a little bit more,
I can see that. That's a movie that I think you can see it over and over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be probably parts where you can you know step out and you know make a sandwich and then come back. Overall, I think they built Godzilla. They built the suspense enough that you know you just have built bits and pieces where they actually used newscasts. To kind of see a little bit of destruction in the beginning of it, in the middle, and then when you actually finally see the last battle, it's like what, like 10 minutes long maybe, 15. It's not overly overblown.
Yeah.
And I love when you actually finally see the atomic blast show up, and then when you see him light up on the Godzilla, and he actually uses it, that's a great moment. You know?
Yeah, it is. In fact. Maybe that's the movie we need to talk about the next
Godzilla?
Time, since it is pretty recent, and a lot of people have seen it, and we've already kind of previewed it away, but maybe Godzilla we should talk
maybe
about.
Maybe we should talk about
how
that.
We would do that better, because I did think, again, there's Godzilla is a lot like Man of Steel in the sense that it had a lot of promise.
Right.
It was a character that everybody knows, that's beloved, and it was just a few scenes away from being classic.
All right.
Godzilla was good, I like it. But even itself, it was just a few scenes away from being classic.
Right.
To where I'd watch it a lot. Because like you said, if I watch it now, I'm pretty sure there's a Godzilla movie I'm going to fast forward past. Because I'm going to be like, I just want to get to the scene where the big payoff is.
Right.
And so in that term, as we're talking about Man of Steel here, I think Man of Steel, again, suffered from that same thing. It had the makings. It had the cast of it. You had Nolan producing while Zack Snyder did all the direction. This movie should have been a lot better, deserved to be a lot better than what it was.
Right.
And I think if we were to take some of these fixes, certainly kill some of that time, get rid of the stupid terraformers, put some of the battle up in space.
Right.
That would have been really nice. And then at that point, put some Justice League Easter eggs in there, about 6 seconds.
Right.
On each
you
of the characters
need a lot.
That show up.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, just 6 seconds that give you just enough that you go,
your imagination runs wild on that.
Your imagination, and then that's how you would end that movie. And I think had they done that, that would have been the best thing in the world they could have done for Man of Steel.
I agree with it. It started great, and then it just, in the last, like you said, 20, 25 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes, it just fell apart. You know?
Yeah.
It just added more, destructive scenes and more, like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the scenes where he's punching him, Zod, Superman punching Zod, it looked like a video game too much.
Yeah.
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 I think it could be against, you know, a movie should be something that, that I think you get connected with the characters,
mm-hmm.
and get enough action that'll, you know, 5-10 minutes or 20 minutes of action, set pieces here and there,
mm-hmm.
that it'll, like you said, it might make it a classic,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of mm-hmm. just like, eh, it's all
right. Yeah, because right now, Avengers is a classic.
Yes.
Dark Knight. Dark Knight, classic, you know, for a lot of people, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be that way.
Right.
And for me, for sure, Dawn, the Planet of the Apes is going to be a classic.
Right.
And Captain America 2 is a classic.
Right.
Days of Future Past is going to be a classic. Because they just paid off from beginning to end.
Right.
And I hope when they make the next, you know, Batman v Superman, I hope they pay attention to what was happening in Captain America 2 and Days of Future Past, because both of those two movies were excellent.
Right. Yes.
You know, they nailed it.
Right. So everything worked out, yeah, on those films.
Mm-hmm. So we just need Warner Brothers, please, Warner Brothers, you know, you need to catch up to Marvel. Marvel is just putting you under, you know? I know y'all have the better animated features, but...
And then they're working on TVs now, so I think that's what they're doing. I will just do TV.
Yeah, we'll do TV. Screw the big screen stuff. We'll
and now, speaking of TV, now that I've heard, like, reports that they're going to keep it separate. Their you know, movie cinematic universe is going to be separate. For their TV universes, which I don't know what did you think about that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I imagine it would get very complicated after a while trying to make everything fit into every world. So maybe there's a piece of where I can understand why they're doing that. But I think at some point it's fun to have some of the collaborations too.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And another thing is they're kind of confuse people because they're going to recast another Flash. Mm-hmm. It'll be different than the TV show,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to recast a different Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you know, Batman, the next Batman film, not this one coming out, mm-hmm. Deathstroke shows up? It'll be a different Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, they're going to have to figure out how they want to do that. I guess it's okay, but you know, at the same time, you can see some advantages to having them be able to kind of co-mingle the brands together instead
right.
of keeping them so separate. So I think that's probably that. Well, let's do this, because I think we've talked about Man of Steel, and it's a pretty good deal, but let me tell you where you can find us. So, Juice, as you know, my co-host, he actually works over at Keith's Comics.
Yes, on East Mockingbird.
On East Mockingbird, that's his store, so go on in. Whenever you've been listening to these podcasts, go on in, go talk to Juice, say hey to Keith if he's there. And take a look around. There's some great comic books. Some of the stuff that we're talking about here tonight, we're pulling from some of the storylines, some comics, and then some of it's just movie talk as well. But that's your place you want to go when you want to go check out good comic books, and then, of course, action figures and toys as well. They have it all over there. And then, of course, me, Vega Bomber. You can go to Vega Bomber on either Twitter, Facebook, or on YouTube. I do my live movie reviews on there, and Juice is sometimes a guest on there as well. So if you want to catch our act video-wise, you can go on there and you can put in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and see our review of that. And then there'll be more to come. But we thank you for joining us tonight for Do It Yourself. And again, if you're thinking of a movie and you want to go see it and it just didn't quite match up, well, look out there on the internet, because we're probably talking about the same thing you were talking about when you were driving back in the car, a little upset because your Superman movie wasn't the Superman movie you wanted to see, or your Apes movie wasn't what you wanted to be, your X-Men movie wasn't what you wanted to be. Well, we can still have fun and still relive it and talk about what should have happened, and we do that here live on Do It Yourself. So I think with all of that, I think you guys can run down to Keith's, or come check out me on YouTube, Facebook, again. But either way, you'll find us, and we'll take care of you on these movies, and we'll let you know what's going on. And in fact, since we talked about Godzilla, how about we get into Godzilla talk next time? What do you think? Is that cool?
I think that's cool.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to tell you then where Godzilla was working and then where it wasn't working, and then we'll give you the fix to how to make Godzilla an even better movie than it was. And then we think it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But they had some parts where you could fix it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's what we do. So be glad that you got some do-it-yourselfers around like us. We carry our tools with us everywhere because we never know what might need some splicing, fixing, hammering, whatever.
Whatever.
Right? Well, we're out of here. My name is Vega Bomber, and he's...
Jesus.
That's right, and also known as The Juice, and we're out. Peace.